Welcome to Talks from the Bible. The Apostle Paul wrote two letters to the Church of God located in the city of Corinth, 1 Corinthians and 2 Corinthians. Paul wrote the letter of 1 Corinthians to correct several problems that were present in the church at Corinth. Sometimes there are problems within the church. These problems must be addressed, and these problems must be corrected. God has the answer to every problem that we might face in this life, both within the church and outside the church. We must study the Word of God and know how God feels and what God thinks and what God teaches concerning our life, both in the church and outside the church. There is a walk that each Christian must have. There is a character that each Christian must possess. This character and this life is revealed to us in the pages of the Bible, and as we read and study the Word of God, we come to know how we are to live and how we are to behave and what we are to think. Such was true for the church at Corinth. In 1 Corinthians chapter 9, Paul writes concerning his right as an apostle. Paul had certain rights as a preacher of the gospel of Christ. He had the right to receive help, financial help, from the church in Corinth because of his devotion to the preaching of the gospel and because of the various travels that he made so that he might proclaim the gospel of Christ. In verses 23 through 27 of 1 Corinthians chapter 9, Paul writes, "And this I do for the gospel's sake, that I might be partaker thereof with you. Know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize? So run that ye may obtain. And every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. I therefore so run, not as uncertainly, so fight I, not as one that beateth the air, but I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway." Paul wanted to make certain that he would not be a castaway. Paul wanted to make certain that he would run this race to the end so that he might be saved and come into the presence of Almighty God in that last great day. Paul speaks of the attainment of a prize. He proclaims the gospel for the gospel's sake, so that he might be a partaker of the blessing of the gospel. God has promised a blessing through our obedience to the gospel. God has promised through Jesus Christ the forgiveness of sins and life eternal. The hope of the church is that God will save us eternally and that we can live with Him in the life to come. Paul speaks of the Christian life as a race that must be run. And this race offers a prize. In a physical race, only one attains the prize. The winner of the race will receive the physical prize in running the physical race. But there is an incorruptible race. There is a race with God, a race in our life that we must run so that we might attain unto the eternal reward. All who run in this race will receive the prize. God will allow each and all who run the race for eternal life to achieve the prize that is offered. We may run, and with assurance and certainty, we will receive the prize. As the Apostle Paul speaks of the attainment of the prize, he suggests four things to which we must give heed. If we're going to run the race for eternal life in the sight of God, desiring to attain the prize of eternal life, then we must concentrate upon four great things in our life. We must devote ourselves to the achievement of this prize. We must give ourselves to the race that we must run so that we can attain unto the prize which God will offer. The Apostle Paul says that this is an incorruptible crown. That means that the crown which is received in running this race for eternal life will not perish. It cannot be defaced. It will not become old and worn, but rather it will be incorruptible. This is the prize that God has promised. This is the prize for which each Christian seeks to attain. We must run this race with concentration. Verse 24 of 1 Corinthians 9 says, "Know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize? So run that ye may obtain." We must run so that we will attain the prize that God offers. We must engage ourselves in the race which God wants us to run. We must be involved in the race for eternal life. We must devote ourselves to the cause of God and to the seeking of everlasting life. We must concentrate on the prize that is before us. We must concentrate on the race that we are running. In Philippians chapter 3, at verses 13 through 14, Paul writes concerning himself, "Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus." The Apostle Paul speaks of a prize that comes because of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Paul has concentrated on this prize that he desires to attain. We must desire to run the race. We must desire to attain unto the prize. Paul had not yet apprehended this prize, even though he was engaged in this race. "But there was one thing that I do." This was the concentration of the Apostle Paul. He said, "I forget those things which are behind, and I reach forth unto those things which are before." Paul's past was marred with transgression and sin against God. God had called him to salvation through the gospel of Christ. Paul had obeyed the gospel of Christ by being baptized into Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of his sins and being added to the Lord's church. Now Paul could say, "I forget what is behind, and I reach forth unto those things that are before." There are things before us. There is life before us. There is a race before us. There is a prize that we must attain. "I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus." Paul said, "I press toward this mark." I do not simply run this race in a leisure manner or a casual manner, but rather I press toward the mark. Paul's concentration was upon the prize. Now our concentration can become offset by the things of the world. We can become too involved in the worldly life. We can seek the pleasures of this life, or the fortunes of this life, or the fame of this life, and we can become detached from the race that we are to run. We must concentrate on the prize. We must keep in our mind that there is a reward, a prize, for running the Christian race, for living the Christian life. 1 Timothy 6 and verse 19, "Laying up in store for themselves a good foundation against the time to come, that they may lay hold on eternal life." Paul here speaks to those that are rich with the things of this life. They have material wealth, but they are to consider eternal life. They are to consider the time to come. All of us must consider our eternal relationship with God. We must consider our spiritual welfare. We must see where we are and what our relationship with God is. And we must lay a foundation for the Christian life, for the time to come. We must lay hold on eternal life. We must keep eternal life in our view. It must be our focus of life. It must be that for which we seek, and it must be the priority of our life. We must concentrate on attaining the prize that God offers for running the Christian race. Hebrews 6, 12 and 15, that ye be not slothful, but followers of them who through faith and patience inherit the promises. And so after he had patiently endured, he obtained the promise. After Abraham had patiently endured, he obtained the promise. We must have endurance. We must be willing to overcome. There will be misfortunes that come our way. There will be afflictions that get in our way. There will be the temptations of Satan that seek to turn us away from our focus of eternal life. We must not be slothful, lazy in God's work, but we must concentrate on our labor so that we are followers of them who through faith and patience inherit the promises. Our faith must be dear to us. And we must have patience to overcome, for there will be difficulties in our path. Those who run in a race must endure. Sometimes their breath may become short. Sometimes fatigue might set in on their body. But they must continue to run. They must concentrate on the end of the race so that the prize can be attained. And so it is with the Christian life. We must concentrate on our running so that we can attain unto the prize. We must not be distracted. We must not turn aside. We must not forget, but rather we must continue and concentrate. Hebrews 10:36, "For ye have need of patience, that after ye have done the will of God, ye might receive the promise." Only after having done the will of God will we receive the promise. And in order to do the will of God, we must have patience. For certainly there is great difficulty and there is sorrow and misfortune in this life, and we must overcome. We can overcome because we are concentrated on the prize that is before us. We run this race with patience and endurance because we are concentrated on the prize that is before us. To attain the prize of eternal life, of this immortal crown that God has promised, we must have concentration, but we must also have constraint. Hebrews 9, verse 25, "Every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible." Those who run in a physical race, hoping to attain a physical crown, must have some temperance. There must be some preparation for the race. There must be some foods, perhaps, that they cannot eat, some activities in which they cannot engage. And then there are those activities which they must perform and perhaps certain foods that they must eat in order to run the physical race to attain the physical prize. So it is with the Christian race. There must be temperance. There are sins in which we must not be engaged. We must not have some kind of lukewarm attitude. We must constrain ourselves, bring ourselves into subjection. We must be able to control our desires and our wants so that we can continue to run this race. Hebrews 12 and verse 1, "Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, Let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. The writer says that we are compassed about with a great cloud of witnesses. There are those who have run this race before us. There are those who have engaged themselves in service to God. There are those who have endured and overcome. Many of these are mentioned in Hebrews chapter 11. And when we read this great chapter of Scripture, we see the difficulty that many of them faced and the obstacles that many of them had to overcome so that they could continue to be faithful to God. Let us consider those who have gone before us. Let us look at the lives of other faithful men and women who have engaged themselves in service to God and have been able to deal with the misfortunes of life and with the temptations of the devil and have continued to be faithful unto God. But the writer says, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us. Satan will try to beset us. Satan will entice us to stop running. Satan will allow us even to run for a time as long as we're not too enthusiastic, as long as we're not too serious, as long as we're not too devoted. We must lay aside every weight and the sin which doth beset us. We can carry weights that will keep us from running the Christian life. We can engage ourselves in certain activities that are not necessarily sinful, that are not necessarily forbidden by the law of God, but they prevent us from running the race. They keep us from engaging in the service to God. And there are sins that will beset us. There are transgressions that will lead us astray, that will take us into captivity so that we are not engaged in the race. We must constrain ourselves. We must have a temperance of life so that we can run this race. We must devote ourselves to the race so that we attain the prize that is before us. Titus 2, verse 12, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. In this present world, in this present life, there is a way that we cannot live, and there is a way that we must live. There is a character that we cannot have, and there is a character that we must have. The grace of God teaches us that we must deny ungodliness and worldly lust. We must deny those sins of the flesh. We must deny ourselves those activities that will keep us from God and will prevent us from being devoted to His service. We must deny ungodliness and worldly lust, but we must also live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. Soberly attends to the seriousness of our commitment, the devotion of our heart. Righteously means according to the commandments of God. We must run this race as God has directed. We must live our life as God has directed. And godly, we must seek to be pleasing unto God. We must follow the teaching that God has set and meet the standard that God has set so that we can run this race with success and know victory at the end. 1 Peter 5, verse 8, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. The devil walks about with the desire to devour us. The devil is our enemy. He is our adversary. And he walks about as a roaring lion. A roaring lion brings devastation and destruction. The devil brings destruction to our life. We must not listen to the devil. We must not give heed to the devil. We must not walk in the way of the devil. We must be sober. We must be alive. We must be alert. We must understand that there is the presence of evil in our world. We must understand that the devil is our adversary. We must know that we are to be followers of God, that we are to engage in the teachings of God and follow His will and do as He has instructed. We must be vigilant. We must be ever alert, ever awake, ever active to the adversary that will seek to destroy us. We must be aware that there is the presence of evil in this world, and we must not walk in the way of evil. We must not follow the way of the devil. We must use constraint in running the race. We must run the race with confidence. Verse 26, I therefore so run, not as uncertainly, so fight I, not as one that beateth the air. One runs the race with the confidence that they can win the race, with the assurance that the victor will win the prize. We run the race that is before us, seeking this incorruptible crown, with the assurance that that crown will be given, that God will bless us with eternal life. We run this race without any doubt that God is faithful to His will, that God will keep His promise, that God will give us what we seek. Hebrews 10:35, cast not away therefore your confidence, which hath great recompense of reward. Our confidence in God will bring us a reward. God promises to reward those who are assured of His presence, of His power, of His will. We must be committed with confidence to God, knowing that God is faithful to His word, that God will always keep His word, that God will not go back on His promise. James 1, verse 12, blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love Him. God has promised a crown of life to those that love Him. If we will love God as He has loved us, if we will serve Him with faithfulness and with confidence, then He will reward us. God has made a promise to those who will endure, to those who will be faithful, to those who will commit themselves to His keeping. If we endure temptation, meaning that even when temptation comes, we are not overcome by it. We do not surrender ourselves to the temptation, but we keep ourselves, we guard ourselves against temptation. And when we are tried, when our faith is tested, then we shall receive the crown of life. We must have confidence in our service to God. Hebrews 11:1, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Faith is the conviction of things hoped for, the assurance of things not seen. We are seeking a crown that cannot be seen. We are running a race that is not physically visible. We run with the eye of faith toward the unseen. God cannot be seen. Christ cannot be seen. Heaven cannot be seen. But we believe in God. We believe in Christ. We believe in heaven. We believe in life eternal because of our faith. Faith is our conviction. Faith is our assurance. We continue to run because we believe. We are faithful because we believe. 2 Timothy 4 and verse 8, Paul is writing to this young preacher, and Paul is in prison. His faith is being tried. He's been in prison because of his faithfulness to God and his preaching of the gospel of Christ. Injustice comes our way. We are treated unjustly sometimes by people because of the way we live and the manner of life that we follow. Such was the case with Paul, and he's coming to the end of life. Death is very near. He's about to be offered because of his commitment to Christ. And he says with great confidence, henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. Paul's confidence is in Christ. He is able to face this persecution of imprisonment. He is able to face death because he has confidence in Christ. He has an assurance that the crown of righteousness will be given to him in that day. But he is confident also that that crown of righteousness will be given not only to him, but unto all them that love the appearing of the Lord Jesus Christ. We must seek and look forward to the appearing of the Lord Jesus Christ with confidence. But we can attain unto the prize with continuance. We must continue. We must abide faithful. Verse 27, "But I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway." We can surrender. We can turn back. We can quit. There is no promise of a prize. There is no assurance of victory to those who turn back, to those who stop running. We must not allow fatigue of life to overcome us. We must not allow sin to overcome us. But we must continue in our faithfulness to God. We must continue to abide in our service to the Lord Jesus Christ. Colossians 1, verse 23, "If ye continue in the faith, grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel which ye have heard, and which was preached to every creature which is under heaven, whereof I, Paul, am made a minister." We must continue in the faith. We must be grounded and settled. We must not only have faith in God, but we must have a faith that is grounded and settled, and that cannot be moved by any means, by any obstacle, by any temptation, by any misfortune. The wind of doubt may blow, but our faith is secure. The wind of sorrow may come, but our faith is secure. The temptation of the devil may assault us, but our faith is secure. We continue in the faith. We are not moved away from the hope of the gospel. Romans 2 and verse 7, "To them who by patient continuance in well-doing seek for glory and honor and immortality, eternal life." There must be a patient continuance. There must be an enduring continuance. There must be a continuance that allows us to overcome and deal with any adversity that comes our way, with any adversary that seeks to assault us. We must abide in faithfulness to God. Hebrews 10:38-39, "Now the just shall live by faith. But if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. But we are not of them who draw back unto perdition, but of them that believe to the saving of the soul." We believe to the saving of the soul. We do not draw back. We do not look back. "No man that looketh back is fit for the kingdom of heaven." Luke 9, verse 62. We must abide in faithfulness to God. As Paul was coming to the end of life, and he was about to be offered because of his faith in Christ, his commitment to God, and his preaching of the gospel of Jesus Christ, he said, 2 Timothy 4, verse 7, "I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith." Paul's life was a life of adversity in his service to Christ. He was misjudged. He was mistreated. He was abused, not only many times by those to whom he preached, but by the enemies of Christ. And yet he said, "I have kept the faith." When we come to the end of our life, we must be able to say, "I have kept the faith. I have continued to be faithful to God." Will we attain the prize that God has promised? Life eternal, the immortal crown, is promised to those who will run the race of the Lord Jesus Christ. We must concentrate on the race and on the prize. We must have constraint, keeping ourselves from fleshly lust and fleshly desires. We must maintain confidence. We must believe, regardless, that God will grant us, will bless us with the prize of eternal life. And we must have continuance. We must abide faithful to God, even unto the end. He that shall endure unto the end shall receive eternal life. Run the race with this great view of the race, with this great devotion to the race, and Almighty God will bless you with life eternal. Talks from the Bible are brought to you by the Church of Christ at South Commerce Street in Somerville, Georgia.